A great passage today, so I'm pretty excited about it. But you guys are kind of younger, so I wanted to see something. So if I said God is good, what would you guys say? Okay, you guys with it. All right. So we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, you are so kind and gracious. We thank you for your mercy and your steadfast love towards us. May you please help us as we seek to meditate on your word. May we be able to focus on your word, and may your word transform us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So is there a place that gives you nightmares, or a place you would never want to be? For some of you, it may be, maybe you're scared of heights, so you would never want to be on the top of a mountain or on a really tall building. For others of you, maybe it's bugs. So a room full of bugs may freak you out, and that would be horrible. Some of you may be even scared of the zombie apocalypse. There are many places that you wouldn't want to be. Paul also found himself in a difficult place, a place that none of us would ever want to be. But first, before we get to that, we will look at what led him to this place in Acts chapter 16. So that's what we'll be at today, Acts chapter 16. This is the last section in the book of Acts as the witnesses proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Paul is on his second missionary journey, and this time he decides to take Silas with him, and they're going to strengthen the other churches. So as they were traveling, first they tried to go to Asia, but they were forbidden by the Spirit. Then they were like, okay, we're going to go to Bethany. And the Spirit said no. It wasn't until Paul had a vision at the night. And it was a man, and he was calling to Paul to come help us in Macedonia. And that's when they began to travel to Macedonia. And they made it to Philippi. So Philippi is a capital city of Macedonia. And while they were there, they were ministering to people. And out of nowhere, a woman started to follow them. A lady who had, she was like demon possessed. She would tell people's fortune. And she would follow them around and say, these are men of God. They know the way to salvation. And finally, once Paul was greatly annoyed with her, he just healed her. And she was healed. But her masters were upset because they were making all this money off of her. So they lied on Paul, and Silas had them beat. And then they were thrown into the prison. And we will see what happens next in our passage. Acts chapter 16. If you're there, please stand for the reading of the word of God. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34, we will see how the gospel has the power to change any situation. How the gospel has the power to change any situation. First, we will look at the prisoners in verses 25 through 26. The prisoners. It was about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas are in prison. It's not like a prison that we would see today. Our prisons are massive. And the people that are in jail, they have so much entertainment. They are able to play softball, basketball. Some of them have TVs in the room. Some of them even have tablets. They're able to shop at the little store in the jail and buy snacks and shoes. It's way better than what Paul and Silas had. So most likely they were in a small jail cell, maybe something like your small group rooms, and all the men are sitting there on the floor together. And their feet are in stocks. So stocks, what I kind of think of it like in the cartoons or when you see it on the old ancient movies, like when people would get their heads cut off. So their hands and their head were between these two boards. So their feet are between these two boards. So they can't get up, they can't move, they can't do anything. And it's getting late. And some people are trying to catch some Z's. Some people probably trying to get some sleep. Other people are chatting it up. But Paul and Silas are praying and praising the Lord. It's odd. We don't know how the other guys felt about this. It could be like after a long day at a sin camp or winter camp, and you're just trying to get some sleep, and your friends are making all this noise. You see rubber chickens flying everywhere. Like, there's just a lot going on. But why are they praising the Lord? They were just beaten. So they were just beaten and thrown in jail. Nobody mended their wounds. So they're probably bloodied and in pain. And it seems as though they're in better shape than the other prisoners. Because I know the other guys are sad and frustrated. Why are they having a worship service? It's because they didn't just talk the talk. They walked the walk. They lived the gospel. The gospel has changed them from the inside out. Has the gospel changed you in this way? Could you still praise the Lord under these kind of conditions? This is the only time we see singing in the book of Acts. And it's while they're in prison. They're not in a house church. Thousands of people didn't just come to salvation. They are in prison, singing and praising the Lord at midnight. Things are bad on the outside, but they don't let the circumstances control them. It is well with their soul. The joy of the Lord is their strength. Even though they are surrounded by thieves and murderers, emotions and circumstances are always changing. But God is still the same. So they praise and glorify the Lord. They don't like what's going on, but God is still faithful. God is still good. No matter what they experience, no matter what we experience. Is your joy based on your circumstances? Or is your joy based on God? Look at what God does in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. God made this great earthquake come. And it didn't destroy the prison. It just shook it, opened the doors, and now everybody was able to go free. So no more bonds, no more chains. This isn't your typical earthquake. Usually when we see the earthquakes in movies, buildings are falling into the ground, people are falling in, cars are dropping in. But in this instance, this is God's response to Paul and Silas praying and singing to him. The earthquake has just given them the opportunity to be free. Not only them, even the prisoners, the ones that deserve to be in there. First, we have looked at the prisoners and how they were praising God through difficult circumstances, just as we should do. Second, we will look at the jailer in verses 27 through 30. Verse 27 says, "When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped." The jailer's supposed to be watching these guys. Instead, he's sleeping on the job. I don't know how many of you know about third shift jobs. Third shift jobs are tough. At one point, I was working third shift at Toys R Us and Babies R Us. And sometimes during lunch, I would chill in the rocking chairs for the mothers. And I would just chill there for a little bit. And before you know it, lunch done turned into a nap. And I have to apologize to my boss. I'm like, hey, I kind of fell asleep. Let me work a little over to make up for it. But you just get tired. It's late. So he falls asleep, but he really can't afford to do this. He has to guard the prison with his life. No one could escape. If they did, he would be executed. This is seen in another prison break. So when the angel frees Peter from prison in Acts chapter 12, they send soldiers all over looking for Peter, but they couldn't find him. And in verse 18, Herod orders the soldiers that were supposed to be guarding him to be killed because they allowed Peter to escape. The jailer was about to kill himself. He thought all the prisoners had escaped. And it would be better, it would be easier for him to do this than to face torture. He was hopeless. He thought it was all over for him. We see this with King Saul in his last battle with the Philistines. He didn't want to fall into their hands. So instead, he fell on his sword to kill himself. I liked when Josh Kennel was here. He said he jumped on his sword, but he fell on it. What do you do when your soul is downcast? Where do you go? The first place we should go is to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord during those times when we are down, knowing that he is there for us. I'm talking about truly crying out. I'm not talking about, no, hey, Lord, just please help me real quick. I need some help. No, truly crying out to the Lord for help when you're down. And if you feel like you are suicidal, because I know it's very prevalent nowadays, you have many people who are here that love you and want to help you. They just need to know what's going on. You have your leaders, you have your elders, you have the pastors. They're here for you. You're not alone. And not only that, we have biblical counseling. So if you just need more, you need people surrounding you with love and care. Get it. Don't wait. You're not in this battle alone. We all have struggles. Get the help that you need. The jailer has the sword in his hand, ready. But in verse 28, Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And if Paul had kept his mouth shut, the jailer would have been dead. Paul just saved his life. The jailer rushes into the prison. He sees all the men, the doors open, the chains off of them, and they're still there. Maybe if it wasn't for Paul and Silas, the prisoners would have been running out of there like it was a fire, just getting out. But they stayed. The jailer heard what Paul said about the prisoner still being there. Now he has seen it for himself. He no longer had worry about being put to death. He still has his job now. He's not going to lose it. His life is secure. The jailer goes to the prisoners that he had locked up earlier that day with fear and trembling. And he falls down before them. This is a weird picture, because this is the jailer before the prisoners. He is fearful because their God has caused an earthquake just for them. But he's also thankful because they saved his life. They told him not to harm himself. They didn't let anybody else leave. He's thankful. In verse 30, the jailer does something he's not supposed to do as he takes Paul and Silas out of prison. Now, he had just rushed in to make sure everybody was there. Now he's taking Paul and Silas out. But he has a question that must be answered. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we will look at his question in the last movement of our passage. First, we saw the prisoner. Second, the jailer. And lastly, we will see the family. The family in verses 31 through 34. In verse 31, Paul and Silas answer the question of the jailer, wanting to know what must he do to be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, they said. But they took advantage of the opportunity, that it wasn't just for him. It was for his whole household. His wife, his children, whoever else was in that house, heard them as they proclaimed the good news of Jesus. A house full of people who were dead in their trespasses and sins believed. Believed in Jesus. Believed in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In verse 33, the jailer takes the prisoners and he washes their wounds. They're not supposed to be out of jail. And he's washing the wounds of the prisoners. All of a sudden, he turned into a nurse. These are two grown men, and he's mending them. And right after that, he was baptized. Not only him, but his whole family was baptized. It's great to see one baptism, let alone a whole family. That's amazing. I've been at Newcastle about 5 years, somewhere around there, and I've seen like one family get baptized. It was a daughter, a mom, and a dad. It's just a beautiful picture to see a family get baptized. How encouraging is that to your faith, to see that the Lord is still working? So we have some baptism coming up also. So if the Lord is leading you to get baptized, you should talk to Pastor Seth or one of your small group leaders, and they'll help you out. Let's read the last verse, verse 34. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. This isn't how he's supposed to treat the prisoners. But the jailer's life has been changed. His family's life has been changed. They invite them into his home and they feed them, just like their family. The story ends with rejoicing. That's the same way it began, with Paul and Silas praying and praising the Lord. The jailer and his family are rejoicing in the Lord together. It's like the rejoicing where we see in the parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. Everybody rejoices. It's a big celebration. Just like the celebration in heaven that happens when one sinner repents. It must be a nice celebration because a whole family just repented. They now know why Paul and Silas weren't down. They weren't defeated when they were in prison. It's because they have everlasting joy. The family experiences the same joy of salvation now. Eventually, Paul and Silas do get out of jail. And Paul goes on to do a lot of ministry. But he finds himself on house arrest in Rome. And while on house arrest, he was sending out different letters to churches to encourage them and strengthen them. Sending out different letters. And he wrote one letter to the church of Philippians. Do y'all remember the theme of the letter of Philippians? Does anybody know it? One person may know. Joy. Joy. And that's what I want you to leave here with today. Joy. If your life is not right with the Lord, you're an enemy, and hell is your future. You must call on the Lord Jesus, turn from your sin, and place your faith in him, and you will be saved. You will be made right with the Lord. You will have joy in him. It is a joy that no one can take away from you, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, they can't take away. Don't let your emotions rob you of your joy. Don't let school prevent you from having joy. Don't let relationships or the lack thereof stop your joy. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, understand that joy in a Christian's life is not based on your circumstances or your experiences. The joy of the Christian comes from God, the Spirit that dwells inside of you. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. And he says it again, rejoice. It's a command. If you're like, I don't have much to rejoice about. Or you're like, I don't really rejoice in the Lord. Then you need to pray and ask the Lord to help you to see him as the joy of your soul. To see him as the joy of your life. Some things that can help you with seeing the joy of being a Christian is by singing your favorite songs. Sometimes that can help you to center your mind back on Christ. Like at a sin camp, usually Seth's alarm was a song of praise in the morning when we woke up. So he wakes up with praise on his mind. You can meditate on verses that bring you joy. And sometimes you just got to read these things out loud. Sometimes reading them in your head ain't good enough. Sometimes you need to hear that word. And praise the Lord throughout the day for being who he is, for being the God of gods, for being the Lord of lords, for being the King of kings. Rejoice in the God of your salvation. Rejoice in the fact that he's coming back again. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for who you are and all that you continue to do in our lives, Lord. Please help us rejoice in you this week. Rejoice in the fact that we know you and that you know us. Help us rejoice so much that people want to know why we are rejoicing. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.